Sadly, some people today who call themselves Christians stand for nothing and fall for everything. They don't stand firm on any major principle or truth of God's word, but they fall for every latest cult, every latest heresy. But Peter and John, those two apostles, were not like that. They had strong beliefs about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they stood for them, and they did not budge at all. And that is obvious from that passage we've just read from Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Let me just remind you of the story. A miraculous healing had taken place. A man above 40 years of age who'd been crippled from birth had been healed. Peter and John were going to the temple one day. They met this man and they healed him, and he followed them into the temple, leaping and praising God for the wonderful miracle which had taken place. Following that miraculous healing, a crowd gathered, not surprisingly, and Peter and John seized the opportunity to preach to that crowd about the Lord Jesus Christ. But that annoyed the religious authorities. They came upon the scene and saw Peter and John preaching to this crowd about Jesus and his death and resurrection, and they were annoyed, angry, and so they arrested Peter and John, put them in prison, and they spent the night in prison. And the next day, Peter and John were hauled before the Jewish Sanhedrin Council to be interrogated and tried. It was a critical, dangerous moment in their lives, but they did not waver. They were courteous and polite, but they stood their ground and declared that they could not give up preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, they went further. They actually preached the gospel to the Sanhedrin Council, before whom they were being tried. Peter and John were brave, courageous men. It must have been an incredible scene. I should like to have been there. All the religious authorities there, in all their religious garb, and two uneducated Galilean fishermen standing before them and preaching to them with great passion the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look with you at what they said. Peter was the spokesman. He preached to them about the way they had spurned and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And he quotes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, verse 22. He quotes that in verses 11 and 12 of Acts chapter 4. And he likens these religious leaders to builders rejecting a stone. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. That's what Peter says about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, but which has become the chief cornerstone. You know what a builder did in olden days when buildings were erected with stones rather than uniform bricks? There'd be a hole or a gap in the wall before the builder, and he would have a pile of stones on the ground beside him. And he would sort through the pile of stones to find one suitable to fill the gap in the wall that he was building. He would pick up a stone, look at it, examine it, size it up, and then throw it away as unsuitable. He'd say, that's no good. That doesn't fit in the wall that I'm trying to build. So he would cast the stone on one side. And Peter says to these religious leaders, that's just how you've treated the Lord Jesus Christ, like a builder rejecting a stone. You've thrown Christ on one side. Peter uses the same illustration again later in his life in a letter that he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Our Lord used the same illustration about himself in Matthew 21. As I said, it's a quotation from the book of Psalms. It's a striking illustration. You see a builder chucking a stone away, throwing it away, useless. That's how men and women treat the Lord Jesus Christ. They throw him on one side. He's no use. Doesn't fit in to the building they're trying to build. I wonder whether there's anybody here this evening like that. You may be surprised and annoyed that I ask that question of people who are sitting in church, religious people. But these men, you see, these scribes and Pharisees, were very, very religious. But they had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many people today who are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a terrible and tragic thing to do. First of all, it's a rebellious thing to do, to reject the Lord Jesus Christ like a builder rejecting a stone. It's a rebellious thing to do. It's rebellion against God. You see, this passage makes it very clear that it's the will of God that the Lord Jesus Christ should be the chief person, not only in your life and my life, but also in the whole universe. To put it in the language of the building trade, it is the will of God that Jesus Christ should be the chief cornerstone in your life. What is a chief cornerstone? We must go back to the days before reinforced concrete, to the days when they used stone. What is a chief cornerstone? Let me give you the definition from Wikipedia. The cornerstone, or foundation stone, is the first stone set in the construction of a masonry foundation. Important, since all other stones will be set in reference to this stone, thus determining the position and safety of the entire structure. In other words, the chief cornerstone is the most important stone in the whole structure. It's at the corner of the foundation. It not only holds together the whole foundation, but sets the standard for the whole building. The safety of the whole building depends upon the chief cornerstone. Without that cornerstone, the whole building will fall and totter. Indeed, without the cornerstone, the building would never get off the ground. It's the primary foundation stone. It determines the position and safety of the whole building. Well, it's the will of God that the Lord Jesus Christ should be the chief cornerstone, the most important person in the whole world, and the most important person in your life. Listen to what God says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. He's talking about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." God is the divine architect. God is the master planner. He's the creator of the whole universe. And it is his will that Jesus Christ, his son, should be the chief person in our lives, the chief person in our church, the chief person in our country, the chief person in our world, the chief person in the whole universe. He is to be the chief cornerstone of everything. So when men and women spurn Christ and throw him on one side and don't bother with him, they're rebelling against the will of Almighty God. Let me put it to you like this. Go back to the days before there were uniform bricks. Go back to those ancient days when buildings were made from stone. The architect, the site manager, has determined the chief cornerstone. He selected a stone. And he said, "That is the stone I want to be the main stone in the whole structure." But along comes a builder's laborer. He left school a few weeks ago. Just started as a builder's labourer. And he says, that's rubbish. We don't want that, sir. And so he kicks it aside. This boy, who's just recently left school, just started building, argues with the chief architect, the man who's been qualified for years. Well, that's rebellion. That's madness. It's rebellion. But that's the way that people react today. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They think they know better than God Almighty. God has ordained that his Son should be the chief cornerstone in the whole universe. The chief cornerstone in your life and my life and in the whole world. But rebellious men and women say, we don't want him. Get rid of him. We don't want Jesus. Don't speak about him. Don't tell me about him. I don't want to hear. And sadly, you come across religious people doing that. People like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But let's be clear. Although men and women rebel against God, God will have his own way. Although men and women reject the Lord Jesus Christ and spurn him and say, we don't want him, God will have his own way. That comes out so very clearly in this passage here. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, but which has become the chief cornerstone. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. God allowed him to die upon the cross. Men rejected him, spurned him, hated him, didn't want him. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, many others rejected him. And people today still reject the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want him. No use in our lives. We can't fit him into the wall we're building. We don't want him. But in spite of that, the Bible says God has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that he's Lord. And one day, every man and woman in the whole world will have to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, yes, you are the Lord. You are the chief person in the universe. And for many, it'll be too late. Too late. They'll be already condemned to hell. You see, it's a rebellious thing to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. You're rejecting the stone which God has ordained should be the main person in the whole universe. And God will have his way. The Lord Jesus Christ has been highly exalted. And one day every person will see that he is the Lord. But in their rebellion, they're rejecting him now. Secondly, to reject the Lord Jesus Christ is not only rebellion, it's folly in the extreme, foolish in the extreme. For this reason, this passage teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one on whom so much depends. You remember the definition we gave of the cornerstone? It's a primary foundation stone. Without it, the whole building would collapse. Everything depends upon this stone which the architect has chosen. Everything depends upon that. And everything of importance depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, he's the one on whom all our hopes of forgiveness depend. You see, we've all sinned against God. We've all turned our backs on God. My friend, if you cherish the thought that you are not a sinner, if you cherish the thought that you've never sinned against God, well, you couldn't be more deluded. Because we've all sinned against God. We've all rebelled against God. We've all turned backs upon Him. We've all done things which are condemned in His law. You may never have murdered anybody. You may never have committed adultery. But we've all been greedy and covetous. We've all been untruthful. We've all pushed God aside. None of us have loved God with all our hearts. None of us have loved our neighbors as ourselves. We've all sinned against God. We all need to be forgiven. And all our hopes of ever being forgiven rest upon Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can forgive us. To reject Him is foolish. Then, of course, He's the one on whom all our hopes of escaping hell depend. That's what we deserve. The Bible tells us that. Because of our rebellion against God, we deserve eternal punishment in hell. And that's a dreadful thing. People laugh about hell. They make jokes about hell. They use the word hell as a kind of swear word. They have no idea of how dreadful, how serious, how awful it is. And our only hope of escaping eternal punishment in hell is the Lord Jesus Christ. What madness to reject Him. What sheer madness. The only one who can forgive us. The only one who can save us from hell. And of course, He's the only one who can bring us safely to heaven. Most people have a desire to go to heaven when they die. People may laugh about that all their lives, but many a man on his deathbed, many a woman on her deathbed, secretly long to go to heaven. But Jesus Christ is our only hope of ever arriving in heaven. He's the only one on whom our hopes depend. Our hope of heaven, He's the only one on whom peace and joy depends. People in this world are looking for joy. They're looking for happiness. They're looking for peace and calm. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can give us real joy and real happiness and real peace in this troubled, evil world. You see, Christ is the cornerstone of all our hopes. Everything depends on Him. Yet men and women reject Him. It's sheer folly. What would you think of a building worker who dispensed with the chief cornerstone? The architect, the master builder, the most important man on the site. He's chosen this stone. But along comes this jerry builder and pushes it away. We don't want that, he says. That's madness. You would say the man is a fool. But that is precisely what men and women are doing in our world today, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. They're trying to build a happy life, but they're trying to do it without Christ. They're trying to build a hopeful future, but they're trying to do it without Christ. They're trying to get to heaven, but they're trying to do that without Christ. It is madness and folly. Notice the subtle way in which Peter rebukes these Jewish religious leaders for their folly. He quotes Psalm 118 in verse 11 here. But there's a slight difference. The psalm says, the builders, the stone which the builders have rejected. But Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, slightly alters that. The stone which you builders have rejected. He's saying that in a mocking tone, really, a sarcastic tone. Sometimes people are so blind and so dead in their sins that they need a touch of sarcasm to shake them. The stone which you builders, you know, you claim to be builders. You claim to be building a good life for yourselves. But you've rejected the chief cornerstone. And that's the folly we see all around us. Men and women trying to build their lives. Trying to build a happy life. That's what they want, a happy life. Trying to build a good future. That's what they want, a good future. You builders. But they're trying to do it without the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything rests upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter underlines that in this verse 12. He makes one of the most important statements in the whole Bible. Indeed, he makes the most important statement that has ever been made by any preacher on the face of the earth. He says this to these religious leaders. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter is saying, there is nobody else except Jesus Christ. Salvation is to be found in nobody else. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's a vital statement. It's not very PC to say that in Great Britain at the present time. You see, some people are trying to make a cornerstone of their own good deeds. They think that will get them into heaven. They're building all their hopes of pardon, all their hopes of heaven, on their good deeds. Some are attempting to make a cornerstone out of religious ceremonies. They go to church. They go to chapel, they go to mass, they go to the temple, they go to the mosque, very frequently, and they're building all their hopes on religious ceremony. Others are making a cornerstone, they think, out of their common decency. They live a decent kind of life, kind to others, and they hope that it will bring them forgiveness, they hope that will bring them to heaven. They're trying to make a cornerstone of their decency. Others make a cornerstone of Mary. They think that she can save them. Or Buddha. They think that he can save them. Or some Hindu god. They think that he can save them. But Peter, with great courage, stands up in front of these people and saying, Jesus Christ is the only cornerstone. He is the one chosen by God to be the basis for all our hopes of forgiveness and salvation. Neither is there salvation in anybody else. There is none other name under heaven given among men by which you can be saved. Do you think you can be saved, my friend, by your good works, your good deeds, your religious ceremonies, by Buddha, by Hindu God, by Mary, by the Pope, by the priest? You're deceiving yourself, because the Bible says there is no other name. Jesus Christ is the one cornerstone. You see, the Christian faith is very exclusive. It's very, very inviting. It invites all men and women to come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what color your skin, no matter what your education standard, no matter who you are welcome to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so all-inclusive, so welcoming, so kind. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll welcome you. But the Christian faith is also very exclusive and says, He's the only one who can help you. He's the only one. And Jesus himself said that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one No one. Absolutely no one comes to the Father except through me. Why is Jesus Christ the chief cornerstone? Why is he the only person who can save us? Why is he the one on whom everything depends? Why? Because he's a very special person. He is God's own Son. The one who's equal with God in every way. The eternal Son of God. From all eternity, he's lived with God in heaven. Came into this world. But he's a very, very special person. The one and only eternal Son of God. Why is he the cornerstone? Why is he the only Savior? Because he's done something that no one else has ever done or could do. He paid the punishment due to sinners like us. He left heaven, came to this world, and was put to death, died upon a cross, crucified by these religious authorities. But when he died there upon the cross, he did something quite amazing. He actually bore the punishment due to a sinner like me and like you. The punishment of our sins was laid upon him. The Bible says that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he bore the punishment of our sin in our place. Do you believe that? You see, before God can forgive us, before God can welcome us into heaven, our sin must be dealt with. God is just, God is holy, God is pure. He cannot just smile at sin and say, never mind, I won't bother. Sin must be punished. It's an outcry, isn't it, just now, that a man who's been a violent sex offender is being granted parole. An outcry about that. Why? Because we have a sense of justice. That can't be just. But God is more just than anybody on the face of this earth. God is more just than the greatest judge in our land. God can't just smile at sin and say, never mind, I won't bother. Sin must be punished before we can be forgiven. And Jesus Christ bore that punishment in our place. That's why he's the only way of salvation. That's why he's the chief cornerstone. That's why everything depends upon him. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. That's why there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. You see then why those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ are so foolish. They're rejecting the one on whom so much depends. To reject Christ is to be rebellious. To reject Christ is foolish. Then, thirdly, to reject Christ is plain dangerous. Dangerous. If you construct a tall building without a good, reliable foundation, you're doing something very dangerous. I was once involved in building a new small school church hall to adjoin a chapel. And the deacon in charge, a builder, was insistent that we should give careful attention to the foundation. We sometimes thought he was being a bit finicky, bit fussy, digging so deep, making sure those corners of the foundation were very secure. But he was insistent. For the safety of the whole building, we must get this right. We're in danger if we don't do that. If you spurn the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, you are living dangerously. You will face disaster sooner or later. You're building your life. And from the outside, it looks so nice, your life. You've got a nice house, a nice wife, nice family, nice car, nice garden, good job, good pension. From the outside, everything looks so wonderful. But if you're rejecting Christ, you're living dangerously. Because one day a great storm will come. And this life which you've built for yourself will suddenly collapse. One day, they'll tell you, Mr. So-and-so, I'm afraid you're going to die soon. This cancer is inoperable. You haven't got much longer left. And your whole world will collapse. But even more than that, one day a storm will come, the like of which the world has never seen as yet. The day of judgment. And you will find yourself standing before God, the judge of all the earth. The Bible says that great day of judgment is coming. You may mock, you may laugh, but God has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness. God has put it in his diary. He knows the date. I don't. You don't. God knows the day when he will judge the whole world, and every man and woman will have to stand before him. And if you've built your life rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, if his stone, if that stone has had no place in your building, if you rejected him, on the day of judgment, everything will collapse. You will find that you've been building your life not on a sure foundation, but on mere sand. And the storm will come, and the tempest will come, and your little building will collapse, and you'll find out one day that you've made a terrible, terrible mistake. You're trying to live life without the chief cornerstone. If you are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, you are doing something very rebellious. You're spurning the chief cornerstone which God has ordained. You're doing something very foolish. You're arguing with the chief architect, the Lord God Almighty. You're doing something very dangerous. One day the whole structure that you built for yourself will collapse. And you'll be lost and go to hell. What can I do, you say? What can I do? There's only one thing to do. Come to him. Turn to him. He is the chief cornerstone. God has provided him. Thank God for that. Stop pushing him away. Stop saying, I don't want him. Realize that you need the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else in the whole world. And say to him, Lord, I want you to forgive me. Please pardon me that I've rejected you for so many years. Please forgive me that I've rebelled against God and rejected you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive me, please. And Lord, be my Savior. Be the chief person in my life. Take control of my life. I want you to be the chief person in my life from now on. Have you ever done that? Do that tonight, if never before. He will pardon all your sin. He'll give you wonderful joy. He'll give you hope. He'll save you from hell, put you on the road to heaven, and give you a purpose in life that you've never had. Trust in him. Trust in him. Do so, and I'll ask him, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Let's sing that together and make Jesus Christ the chief cornerstone of our lives. In Christ alone, my hope is found.